Okay, we are in session at 7 in the evening on Tuesday night. Involved. David is coming up.
I make a motion we approve the minutes, the payables, and payroll.
Unanimous. Okay, we changed things up a little bit because the young lady that just came in had the furthest to drive, so we're going to put her to the front of the line, and it's getting foggy out there, or it is foggy out there, so she's going to talk about our local emergency plan, which is up for its fifth year renewal.
Yeah, so good evening. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Maggie O'Brien. I am the emergency management planner with the Rutland Regional Planning Commission. And I'm here tonight to talk about the town's local hazard mitigation plan. Now, this is a plan that is not required, but the town must have it in order to access funding from FEMA. So the last time this plan was updated in the town of Wells was back in 2020. In that case, my predecessor, Stephanie Burke, led the effort with the town, working with the local planning team to help identify the town's highest risk hazards. And then develop a mitigation strategy with an array of action items for the town to address those highest risks. So as the term suggests, hazard mitigation is any sustained policy or action that eliminates long-term risks. And while hazards themselves can't be eliminated, it's possible to determine, you know, where they're most likely to happen and ways that policies can be implemented to reduce the severity of their impacts. So as I mentioned, the local hazard mitigation plan is something required to access funding through FEMA. Without a current local hazard mitigation plan, the town cannot receive any hazard mitigation assistance funding from FEMA at all. This can include things like the hazard mitigation grant program, which is a pot of funding that is available following a declared disaster to help implement mitigation projects to reduce long-term risks for future disasters. It can also apply to the Building Resilient Infrastructures and Communities Program, or BRIC. And BRIC is used to spur investment in activities that will reduce risk and increase resilience. Now, BRIC is also the source of funding for updating a local hazard mitigation plan. And this is important to know because the Vermont Emergency Management, which is a division of the Department of Public Safety, every year they apply for the BRIC grant on behalf of municipalities. And they have a tracking system where they look at all of the towns and for any plans that are set to expire within the next two and a half years or so, they include these towns as sub-applicants for local hazard mitigation plan updates. So it came to my attention that the town of Wells was chosen as a primary for the BRIC 22 funding round. And that there was an executed grant agreement between the town and the Department of Public Safety effective June 2024. As far as I know, after speaking with Dawn, nothing has come of this agreement yet. So typically, what next steps look like in terms of funding a local hazard mitigation plan. So the town would be responsible for developing a request for proposals. And this is something that if the RRPC wishes to place a bid for, we cannot assist you with, because that would present a conflict of interest. So we would then direct you to the State Hazard Mitigation Planner, Caroline Caskey, She would be willing to help you guys develop a proposal. And I also have an example from the town of Benson. They just closed their request for proposal period for their local hazard mitigation plan update. And then after going through the procurement process and collecting the proposal for services, the town would select whatever contractor they want to work with and set up a grant agreement between the town and that contractor to update and do the work to do that. So for the RRPC, typically this process takes about 6 to 8 months. We assemble a local planning team, and we have our kickoff. We build a community profile that explains, you know, the characteristics of the town and the assets that you guys have. We then go through the process of a community risk assessment. So looking through the various natural hazards that impact the Rutland region and determining which ones are highest risk to towns. We construct profiles explaining what those impacts are, their extent, their location, their magnitude. And then once we have that fully fleshed out, we develop a mitigation strategy, which is comprised of an array of actions that is feasible and reasonable for the town to implement in response. So that process, like I mentioned, sits about 6 to 8 months from kickoff to the submission to DEM for final submission to FEMA. And the local hazard mitigation plan for the town of Wells currently expires in October of this year. So if we were to get started on the process now, for instance, I could see us being done by the end of the year. So there would be a small gap there where the town would not have a currently existing plan, and that's why it's imperative that if you want to maintain a current plan, retain that access to FEMA funding, and also retain a higher reimbursement rate from the state from the Emergency Relief Assistance Fund following a disaster, then that's where it would be advantageous to have a current plan. So I just wanted to make the select board aware of this opportunity. The grant agreement for BRIC, which is between Department of Public Safety and the town, is good until, I believe, November 26th. So there is still time to get a plan developed and submit it to FEMA. But it's in the best interest of the town to act sooner rather than later on this, if you would like to keep that plan current. Any questions?
How come, I guess, wouldn't it be in everybody's best interest if they gave you a little more time notice rather than kind of throwing you under the bus where you have a 6 month time frame to do this, but you have 4 months left on your plan?
So when I say it takes about 6 to 8 months, that's for our process. That's the time that we've experienced with other towns, having those team meetings, working on the draft in between, corresponding with local community partners and conducting outreach and so forth. So BRIC 22, I think the awards were reimbursed before my time, actually, and I started in October 22, or might have been shortly after that. But at that point, I was not head of local hazard mitigation planning. And Wells is one of the towns that slipped under the radar in terms of having an executed grant agreement and getting started on that process. Between that transition period between Stephanie Burke and myself, Benson was in a similar situation, and we were finally able to get them to have a request for proposals. So it's not, I mean, FEMA technically doesn't care if your plan expires or not.
Oh, yeah, they would.
Really, it's up to the town to keep it current and retain those benefits. So the timeline itself, while we recommend you have as little of a gap in coverage as possible, like in theory, FEMA's not going to flag you on the risk.
So our emergency plan is up in November?
The local hazard mitigation plan, yes.
Okay.
Not to be confused with the local emergency management plan, which is something that's done on the yearly and updated by time.
I believe that's all taken care of.
I assume it is. Unfortunately, LEMPs are no longer under my purview. They are under the purview of our regional coordinator, William Jones. But I am in close contact with him, and I can help the town if need be.
No, we did it.
Yeah, the local emergency management plan, that's a yearly thing.
Right.
The local hazard mitigation plan is once every 5 years. They're two different entities.
Right. No, I understand. I've been around for a couple of days.
So how's this worked in the past? Who's worked on this plan in the past?
Well, it was done differently.
Okay.
Up until this is a new system, correct? I don't know how
the grant source funding is new, but the process is still the same.
Yeah.
So how do we get this ball rolling?
Right.
To get this ball rolling, we need to develop a request for proposals for local hazard mitigation planning, and like I mentioned, RRPC can't help for that if we want to bid on the project. So I have the contact information for Caroline Patsy in a handout that I will be giving to the select board in just a moment here. And this handout also summarizes everything I've talked about tonight for your reference.
So the request for proposal is to help us to get the plan done?
To update the local hazard mitigation plan, yes.
All right.
See, in the past, Tammy, when we did it with a member of Rutland Regional, which happened to be Stephanie Bork at that point, the last time we did it, this one year, and it was Paul, myself.
I think it was Ron, wasn't it?
Ron Bremmer, Todd, because he's our emergency coordinator, emergency services director. And we had meeting after meeting after meeting and went through it and got it done, and that's what this is.
And this would be going through that same process.
But it's different now, right?
Same
but different, I guess, the way I understand it.
I guess, just to clarify, what part of it is different in your eyes?
Well, the introduction of a grant and the introduction of a third party or a second party or whatever you want to call it.
So I wasn't in Vermont during that time, so I can't really speak to that. But as far as I'm aware, it worked through a similar method, but through what's now called BRIC was known as the Pre-Disaster Mitigation Grant. So
right.
Same grant source funding. There's two different grant agreements, right? So you have the agreement between DTS and the town, where Vermont Emergency Management basically says, look, we will give you the money to pay your contractor to help you update this plan. And then you have the agreement between the town and the contractor itself for the work to actually update.
We didn't have a contractor at last time.
No, the contractor.
Stephanie Bork was the contractor, so to speak.
Right. I say contractor is a general catch-all term because other firms could propose their services, and towns could accept that. That's what the town of Paulette did recently. They actually chose not to go with the RRPC for whatever reason. But like Rutland City, they received several proposals for services, which they're finally getting a plan out there a decade, thank God. And they went with the RRPC. So I'm just saying contractors as a way to denote, like, there could be more than one party submitting proposals for this. But the RRPC would definitely be interested if an RFP was posted for this work.
So now we need to compose some kind of a request. Is there a form for that, or is this just a letter that we shoot off, or an email, or?
So it would be an official posting. And I have, again, an example of boilerplate template from Benson that would be a good model for the town of Wells that you can just fill in the blanks for stuff that is related to Benson, related to Wells.
Do you have that electronically?
I do, yes. I send this as well as the handout to you guys by email. Yep.
Okay.
We might have it electronically. I think you sent it to me.
Yeah, I think I did include it in that email as we see you and Nora.
Sorry, maybe.
And all of this with the caveat of I have no idea what's going on at the federal level, but until I hear otherwise, we are operating business as usual.
Okay. And we have our old one electronically too? Our old.
And the 2025 plan would be similar in format because the requirements haven't changed that much. There were new guidelines released in 23, but that mainly beefed up the outreach process, which we would be happy to help develop with the team and implement if we were chosen to do this work. But the general, the bones are all the same. The things that might change could be the rankings of the highest risk hazards, if there was any significant changes in land development to influence vulnerability, which according to Don, there hasn't been, so that would be noted in the plan as well. So, but there's a reason why we go through the whole process with them. Kind of get the town thinking again in the lens of hazard mitigation and resistance.
I was thinking, you sent me an email with a couple
of things. I can always send a new email with the handout, so it's at the top of your boxes. Yeah. But if there's any other questions, next steps, again, I recommend going to Caroline, and her information is on here. And I'll put that out in the email as well.
Yeah, okay. Caroline Baskey, right?
Yep.
Yeah, I finally found it. All righty.
Any other questions? Or?
No, I would say we need to get things going.
All right, yeah, awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Have a good day. Thank you for having me. Have a great night.
Yes, thank you for stopping down.
Yes, thank you. I did run into many passes of fog, so
yeah.
My home's back in Fairhaven, so we'll see how it goes.
All right. Anybody else on the open forum?
All that we were just discussing, does that have any bearing on the East Weld Road slide, or is that way beyond?
Well, the problem with the East Weld Road, if I've explained this, I don't know how many times, happened during Irene is when the first occurrence was noted. The board at that particular time chose to ignore it when FEMA had the money to repair it. When I came back on board in 2000 and whatever, it was starting to get worse. It was much more noticeable. The river has changed courses three times in the last three major 100-year floods, so to speak, Irene being one. Then it got better because the river moved away from the road, and then it got worse because the river moved back towards the road. And then we had the equipment, we had the inclinometer. I thought I explained all this.
Right. Yeah, I was just talking about, does this have any funding?
No, this is when you have another Irene. Knock on wood, we have had virtually no reportable issues from any of the three events. I mean, we've had a washout here, but it's not a lot worse. It might happen if you had a horrendous thunderstorm in July or August. We've been very lucky. Killington has not. Ludlow has not. Bennington has not. Arlington has not. Manchester has not. But we've been, this girl called me every day during the last one, and she finally got sick of hearing me say, we don't have any damage. Are you sure? You got to have some damage. No, we don't have any damage. So, yeah, no, to answer your question, it has nothing to do with it. Okay. We are hoping that we can, there is a little bit of money floating around out there that we may be able to get our hands. We will get a grant, a structured grant, to go towards that. That we've pretty much been guaranteed of. And there is some money. Governor Scott dug up some extra money because there wasn't enough money to cover the last go-round of floods, which wiped out Ludlow, if you remember, and so forth and so on.
We'll have access to that money.
So there may be a shot that we will get some kind of help other than a structured grant. Anybody else? I'll make you a copy of this for sure to make you a copy of all this stuff so you got it and I got it.
Well, I get her emails anyway, too.
Yeah, you probably got the email I was looking at. This,
so why do we need to go out for proposal and all this stuff for, so we need the help to renew this if we...
It's a pretty intense thing. There's probably, well, this one here, there's probably 30 hours in that of my time, Paul's time, Stephanie Bork's time. I mean, it reads, similar to a town plan. I mean, it talks about everything.
So the cover of ours is that freak July storm that we had, and that's Joe Capron's
cover. Joe Capron's cover.
And he also had a video, and that actually made it to the state level.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, it gets into what you have in town. It's kind of similar in effect to the town plan that they're working on now. You know, it says you've got to, I mean, we don't have it, but for instance, if there was a development on in this meadow of 20 new houses, you know, it shows where your population is, where your hazards are, what's near the river. They built a new shopping center, you know, in our case, not a lot has changed. There's maybe 3 new houses since this was done.
Well, that's what I was saying. That's what I was thinking that because your family now has changed.
Reoccurring hazards, you know, if we get a freak storm, it's pretty much we know where we should go to check at the roads. And
Yeah,
so. And the FEMA part of it is we have, during Irene we applied, we got hooked up with FEMA and we got money out of FEMA. We do it one other time, Dave. Didn't we get some money here a year ago or 2 years ago for something?
No, we haven't got any FEMA money since that July 1 storm.
Yeah, the July 1 was the second one. Irene was the first. We got a little bit of money.
We tried sneaking under the radar with the spy down this well road until they found out it was a federal aid road, so we're not entitled to any FEMA money for that road whatsoever.
Which
doesn't make sense, but.
No,
but you want their
money, you
gotta
play by their
rules. Exactly.
Unfortunately.
Okay. Does anybody else have
anything? Or open forum, Willis? In that case, we'll get into correspondence.
We do have a several page long email from Ed Klodfelter, Merrill Bent. Merrill Bent is, for those of you that don't know, Merrill Bent is our attorney. There's an ongoing tax dispute with Mr. Sean Camara in regard to one some quarry land that he bought over on mine's a terrible thing to lose, off of the Bullfrog Hilltop Road, which we have been to mitigation with them. Paul and I spent 8 hours in the old lawyer's office under mitigation. We made an offer to them. They apparently have not taken our offer. This is the first I've heard since last November. Basically, the problem is that there's no set. The average house and lot, there's all kinds of appraisers out there that will give you a value. Slate quarries, due to the fact the way they buy and sell them, some buy the mineral rights, some buy the land, some buy the corporation. There's no real way to, and you don't know what's in the ground. I mean, it could be wonderful slate, or there may be junk. Our appraiser has appraised it to what he felt was fair. Mr. Camara did not feel it was fair. So we're kind of at a standstill now.
It looks like Ed's not wanting to help much.
Well, no, because they don't know. There's no cast in stone way to, your house is a cast in stone way to appraise it. There isn't with a slate quarry. That's the biggest problem. She's looked for a quarry appraiser, and nobody's come up with one.
So Nora's just wanting us, didn't know about if we should, since Ed's not really helping us much, if we should go to Ernie, who owns Nemrick, to see if he could get us more, if he's able to help with anything. She just didn't know if you wanted her to forward that to him.
She can forward it to him. She's that's her bailiwick. She's a town clerk. I think she's going to get the third response, which is the same as the first two responses.
I can tell her to forward to Ernie and see if we get any further with him. She was just asking me to check with us.
I mean, I don't know what's going on. We've heard nothing from Camara. There's nothing in here that they're taking any more action. I mean, their next step after what we've already done would be the Supreme Court, and that's 3 to 5 years away to get into that. So they still haven't. The last time he went to the Supreme Court and haven't heard a word, and that's been 3 years. So, anyways, that's what anybody wants to read it, they can
look through it.
Dig right into it. I have a fleet or a permit for Markowski Excavating, overweight permit. Actually, I guess I got two of them. Got one for Proctor Gas. I would entertain a motion to do something with these.
We make a motion and we accept Markowski Excavation, and Proctor Gas overweight permits.
Second.
Yeah, we probably ought to be nice to Markowski. They may be the one that's fixing the big swell for
real nice to them.
That's their.
We'll give them a dollar discount on the $5 they pay or something.
That's kind of their bailiwick. It's that kind of a problem. What's the date today?
20.
Didn't know that, but when you do the same thing every day, I don't pay much attention. And then I need the same on Proctor Gas.
Yeah, he did
so well.
Yeah.
Good boy. I have a letter here to the Woodman. I believe you probably are the author of this.
Oh, yeah.
The town of Wells, but the Woodman have apparently, I don't know, you can explain it.
It's a matching grant for projects or anything that, somebody could submit for. We've done the school before for playground equipment, for tennis.
Scoreboard
for Pulteney. We've done
Wells
Library. We've done a lot. So, it was after our last meeting about possibly if the town, could use funding for a project or purchase coming up. And I had thought maybe since we're in the starting works of the possibly doing something for a salt shed, that we could apply for the matching grant with the Woodman, which would give us $5,000 toward whatever we end up doing. So, and it could be put aside until that project once we get the money. So, I wrote a letter to the MWA asking them to consider us for the matching grant. So, and I don't know if you want to sign that, and then I can bring it to the meeting. So we can have Don out there doing bingo.
What's that? What did you say about bingo?
Because you sign that, you get to work bingo.
I have work bingo. I can't even stand to listen to that game being called. It drives me nuts.
I guess I would do that for us. So. Thank you. And I'll let you know.
Okay, that I think is it for correspondence. I have a few little oddball things. in talking to the Rumnell girl, Stan Martell's son, the youngest one, was the one that put the building up.
Oh, okay.
Cody, yeah. Mm-hmm. It took him 2 weeks, but it was during the time when it was 10 below zero and snowing every other day. So he's figuring that, and that building is, I believe, 100 by 50 or something. It's a little smaller than what we were talking about. But anyways, he figured it. He could have done that building in a week. And that building doesn't have a foundation like ours would have. One thing I was in neglect, and I understood that there was some remarks made about it. The foundation blocks, we received a grant to purchase them. So there was no out-of-pocket cash on getting those blocks. It was during the ARPA. I don't know if you're familiar with ARPA, but it was basically ARPA was it's an acronym for American Rebuilding Public Works or something. And what it amounted to is you had to use the money for something to do with city water, city sewer, bridge repair, something to do with infrastructure. It was to get guys working and so forth during the COVID. And every town in the country, every city, every town got X number of dollars. I believe we got 400, something, I think, 460 or 430 or something. And that's what we used part of the money for, was to buy the blocks, build the building, because regardless of what people tell you, it's going to become a mandate. You're going to have one, and we're sitting on a Class A street right there with salt running into it. It's been brought up before, and if you notice around the state, most everybody already has one. And if they don't have one, they're in the process of doing something about one. So that corrects some of the figures that I heard thrown around that appear to be a little bit on the flagrant side. But, David, your truck, the dump box is not in yet. I talked to him yesterday, and it's being made in Canada, so they're probably waiting for the 15% tariff, I guess. But anyways, the box isn't there yet. Everything is done. The truck is all coated, ready for the box. He was very clever how he worded it, but he said, in all honesty, for the most part, I think it'll be mid-March, so another week or two.
Every 2 weeks. It's another 2 weeks.
But he covered all his bases pretty good.
April to the middle of April.
Yeah. I think you're probably right.
You know how they operate.
The other thing, I did get talking to him about another truck, and regardless of how quick the cab and chassis comes in, you're still looking at 3 years mm-hmm. to build the truck. So you're not going to see until winter or the spring of 26.
No.
28. Or 28. Excuse me. I never was good in arithmetic. So that's.
So where are we as far as putting in an order?
What's that?
Where are we with putting in an order? So now you have worked on with Dave on stuff and what we might want to order.
Dave and I are in a gridlock. Yes, we have talked.
I heard out of Mac, so I can drive it. I wouldn't want to touch it.
I'd rather have a stick, but I understand where he's coming from.
Right.
Not everyone can drive a stick nowadays.
Not anymore.
If it's not an open highway, automatics are great. We're up and down hills and stuff.
What is it they call that? What do they call the kids today?
Millennial
anti-theft device. Leave the keys in a car, put a standard transmission in it, they can't drive it. So that's That's what he's saying, and I guess I got it based on this truck and the last two or three trucks that I've been involved with. I've never yet had one come through the door when they said it was going to come through the door.
Yeah.
And we've dealt with two different companies that I know of, so. I guess I have to believe it. So I don't know, perhaps you and I, David, should sit and go over the specs that we've got here, make sure we got your T's crossed and your I's dotted and so forth. I talked to Blake a couple of weeks ago. The other law that's coming into effect in Vermont is adopting the electric truck law.
Yep.
The only thing is they're doing it a little different than New York and Massachusetts have done. They're doing it to the California specs. And in New York and Massachusetts, because these trucks are not capable of doing what they say they'll do, they have put a hold on the law. Where Vermont is following California, and California, you sell, the dealer sells X number of trucks, and then he has to sell an electric truck, and he can't order any trucks until he sells an electric truck.
Anyway. They won't even build you a diesel truck until he sells.
New York, I guess she's going to put a hold on it because it doesn't work. They don't work. They don't have the equipment to work on them. They don't have the facilities to. You have to have a lift that will pick the entire truck up to service the batteries. You can't. The batteries have to cool for 8 hours before you charge them. So you plow half your route, then you call up all the rest of your customers and tell them you'll be back the day after tomorrow. I'm not sure that's going to go over very well.
No. And I believe Vermont takes effect next year, anything 22 after 2026.
So that's...
Ordered?
Order now. You're good.
We're okay, yeah. That's why I want to get orders.
Well, the law went into effect in July when the legislature and so forth get done. Usually we see it in July or January, and they already missed January, so it'll probably be July.
Well, it sounds like we're close to, you know, what we want. And I think we need to get it ordered.
So that's kind of where that stands. Sorry we missed you yesterday, but Paul and I went with Hillary and looked at several possibilities for the back road grant. What's that?
I thought that was the 28th
that you were going to email. No, yesterday. I thought it was today, but I fortunately looked at my calendar yesterday. It was yesterday at one time. We left here. We went up by, Catherine, just past Catherine Capers.
Langholm
Camp, the yellow one on the right-hand side. That's the one that's got the small metal culvert.
Pretty deep.
Quite a gore down through there. It's quite a ways under the road. But we looked at that. Then we went on up to Endless Brook, and we looked at the big culvert, the one with the guardrails there, the first one you get to.
Where they got all the logs in there.
Yep.
They were talking about putting in a Churchill. Yeah, put in a catch basin of some kind. Yep.
And then we went from there up the hill to past Melinda, by Melindy's pass, just a little past.
You already done that. She knows it.
And
we built a wall right along that river.
Yeah, but she wanted you to come up with what one you thought might be the best one for us to tackle.
I think Churchill. That needs to be done anyway. So.
The first one?
No. Second. The second one up by the big culvert.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I mean. That's the
one on Endless Brook.
The first one on Endless Brook is where I was going.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, I mean, that one goes directly to the lake, so I could see them being in favor of it. And it's, you know, I see water that comes down through there a little wild sometimes. So that would be my suggestion. I think it's probably within the realm of, I don't know what we've got in that grant, but.
Well, she seemed to think there'd be more money available.
From her?
From there.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because the grant and aid we have now for 2025 is, I think it's like
$19,000. Yeah, it never goes much
maybe
further.
Maybe that's not. It falls something. But,
but I, as near as I can tell, what she wants to do or one of the things she, there's a, actually, the, I have the, the last Lake Association hearing that they had here, a couple weeks ago. I watched, they went over a bunch of these spots on that, and there wasn't any snow on the ground, so you could see a little better what's going on. But that one, I believe they wanted to make it steps, I'm thinking, like a pool, you know, with lined with stone,
yeah.
And to slow the water down, basically. And that was what they wanted to do there, and then another one they wanted to open it up, but that's one they've already opened up.
Jeez.
And
they gave us money to do the air station inside the town park over there.
Yeah.
Culvert there by Franny's. Helped pay for that.
So
they never did do the one down by Quinn Cove, did they?
No, I'm thinking that ran into some landowner issues.
Oh, it did?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
I think all they did is change the Davenport, change the culvert, and did a little swale up the ditch. So fire, and that was the end of it.
Yeah, I'm pretty certain that the guy that built a fairly new garage there is the guy, he pitched a fit or property changed hands or something. They came to a screeching halt, I know that, but I don't know exactly the details.
That project on Endless Brook, does Melinda own that?
The bottom line owns
it. They do?
He goes right to the road, down to the front.
Yeah.
From the other road down to his, down to.
Yeah, you got like a triangle in there.
When's the back roads grant due? The application?
Better roads is coming down.
I call it back. It used to be back roads grant. Now it's better roads.
Better roads coming down.
So what is this that we're talking about?
That's grants and aid.
Oh, grants and aid. Okay. When's that due?
Hillary has money that she gets.
Yeah.
Someplace, and that's what they want to fund us with, I guess.
Well, she gets it from the state for the soil conservation end of things,
yeah.
Which obviously, even since I've been involved with it, they've been, you know, it all goes towards leak saving projects, so to speak.
And Hillary's with the state.
What's that?
Who's Hillary?
Poly Meadow Weed.
Oh, okay.
Hillary Solomon, she runs Poly Meadow Weed.
So is she the one that's going to put in, or we have to submit something to them for consideration? Is that the deal?
We didn't get that far. We just looked at sites.
Well, the other ones that we did, we submitted to her.
Yeah.
And right. Then she submitted to the state.
Okay.
Yeah, they went through her office, so to speak.
He built them up to her, and then she forwarded them on to the state.
She did say that one, the big culvert there, that we might have to get a hydrolysis there.
I got study, but it's way back. Doing it.
Did you talk to Corvall or anybody on that guy?
Yeah, it was.
It's big enough?
No problem. Gonna
need
another because they only last a year or two.
Yeah, no, I mean it's a good sized culvert, but with all the junk that comes down through, I don't know if they might want a bigger one.
Well, they'll definitely want a bigger one.
That's what I'm thinking.
Paint measure out and go top to top.
You know, speaking of that, that culvert we looked at up by West there, that had a lot of debris on it, that big culvert up there. Remember where it was?
The one in Middletown? The one on in West, at yeah. West? Yeah, that was full of sticks. Is that other culvert, speaking of that, I took them up there and showed them where that driveway culvert comes across that we've had the issues with, which is Middletown Springs. Did they ever do anything with it?
Yeah, he lowered it.
They what?
He lowered it, redug it, and stunk it in the ground a little bit further. So I took a little rock up there and dumped it right in the driveway to block the water from coming down our road.
Yeah. I'm sure we got paid for it, too.
The road didn't wash out.
Well, Hillary lives in Middletown, so she knows exactly how they operate or don't operate. Oh, let's see. She's already been here. Trying to think what else I had. We did, I don't know if you guys knew it. We got a couple loads of stone. Crushed stone to try on the back roads. Should we get some ice or snow or whatever, which I'm thinking we probably will.
I would imagine.
And I was on one of Pollock's roads Saturday, and it was still there. I mean, I was on Herrick Brook, and that carries a fair amount of traffic, and stayed pretty good. I don't know when they put it there. I'm assuming it was.
Spread. That's all they use is stone.
Yeah, no, I know, but I don't know how long. Obviously they don't work Saturday or Sunday, so they must have been there for at least Friday or Thursday or whatever.
It stays put.
Yeah, no,
it's right into the ice.
Yeah.
Did that come from Longford or Volusia?
Both, I think.
Both.
Yeah, I meant to. Did you notice it on the hill there where we first got out of the car going up Endless Brook?
No, I didn't.
Where Pulteney, that's what they're using. Theirs is
3/8.
But it's white.
The white stuff. Yeah, you noticed that on there.
Yeah.
That comes from Florence.
Oh, okay.
When they were plowing for us, that's what they did over top of Hilltop and so forth, because that's what he had on the truck. It's just weird, you can't see it.
Yeah, they really look like the stone that Dorset uses.
Dorset uses bigger aggregate.
Yeah.
Where I think it would save you some time, and I think it would save you some, definitely, it doesn't get wet. I mean, Saturday wasn't all that warm, but Herrick Brook Road was bone dry.
Well, that material seemed to stay on the road good.
And those.
Yeah.
When I plowed Brook Road, where they come down and turn around off Thadmer, it's all still right there. I don't plow it off the road. Holes.
That was the stuff you told me about that we got.
What's that?
Stuff we just bought or whatever.
Yeah. Last week or beginning of the week. When did we get it? Last week, Devin?
No.
It was the beginning of the week, yeah.
Now, did you end up putting down any of that wool stuff last year anywhere?
Didn't.
And how's that looking?
Excellent. The summer, there's some going around by one of the costumes.
Okay. When you get a chance, could you just, for my pleasure, just kind of put together what your spring, summer projects are that you guys are hopefully we'll get to or whatever? I mean, we know Mother Nature always. But just so I have an idea, because I know nothing about towns or roads and stuff. Thank you.
That's where you're going to put that master that I wanted.
There's about one hole up there by one.
It's got a massive spot up there.
Potholes. And the stone wall at the cemetery used to be this high above the road. Now it's about like this. That's how much stone and stuff we put in there.
Mm-hmm.
And just keep. Built right to a swamp, and he just keeps coming by.
Yeah.
So We'll put quite a roll of that.
Okay.
And then having
the other roll, if I already rolled my Lord Cedars, like one hole and then.
You know, have a spread through.
Yeah. We were mentioning it with to Dwayne there about that stuff that you had purchased and that we were trying it out and stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe help with some of these dirt roads and stuff.
Well, the potholes kept coming back like faster, and we'll keep up that down.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, she got one little pothole all summer long.
Yeah, we came across it yesterday. Yep. It was in good shape.
It really helped stabilize the road.
Maybe we have
the main part to get the coverage on.
Yeah.
Maybe we ought to get some more of that.
Falling it up and then it's no good.
Maybe we ought to get some more of that.
Yeah, we were thinking about, because we only got 12 foot width. We were thinking about going 16. And that will pretty much cover the width of any road we have.
Yeah.
Minus maybe a couple feet on the shoulder, but keep the main part.
Most people don't drive there, so every now and then you get something that does. Yeah, Quaves did the other day.
Yeah.
I think we'll play the dumps out of the ditch coming down towards Bullfrog to go to the dump. She was in that ditch as you're coming down past your house.
Yeah.
I see somebody there. Oh, yeah, I said, you don't want to go down the ditch. Let me put it through your wheel. And they pulled it back on the road because they said, it's going, that car's just going to go because that ditch is bigger than your car.
Get deeper as you go.
Yeah, I seen trucks buried. So I said, no, let's just try this and hopefully it works.
I'm guilty as charged. About 35 years ago, I buried one of the town trucks there. It was a wicked heavy storm of this heavy, wet crap like we had. And I'm turning the wheel to the left, and the truck is going to the right, and I got in, and I kept going and going and going. I said, maybe I can get out, you know.
Grand School Dune did the same thing one year.
I walked down, and there was a guy running a skidder down the road, and I learned a real appreciation for a skidder. That maybe he plucked me out of a full load of sand on everything. He plucked me out of there like it was a pickup truck. I think what else we got.
We do old business for a second.
Yep.
I know in the couple of meetings ago we talked about hiring a administrative assistant for the select board. So I wanted to make a motion that the select board hire administrative assistant for 8 hours a week to help us with a lot of these different tasks that we have to do at an hourly rate.
I think we need to do something because it's, you take this kind of stuff.
I would say, I think this would be a good thing. Example. Exactly, yeah. So.
I mean, I'm spending 20 hours a week on select board business in addition to going to 3 or 4 meetings a week. Plus, I work.
Yeah.
You're talking to a grant writer, basically, something like that.
Well, no, a little bit of everything. Like, Jonas
used to do
stuff. Jonas did it in Paulette for years. Yeah. He was a town manager in Paulette, but when he retired, he went to Paulette, and he was their zoning guy. Plus, he did all their kind of legwork and stuff. And the problem being this stuff, it's. I've been in and out of this business for 20 years, and it's tougher and tougher and tougher and more and more and more state mandates. I mean, if I don't fill out 3 or 4 surveys a week, I don't fill out one. And they're not just simple yes or no questions. And the person we interviewed is very qualified. We talked to, and actually she's quite overqualified. But yeah, and I would think that would be the route to go. We've got to do something.
Yeah. So all in favor?
on the table. Yes. I'm unanimous.
Yep. Okay. We'll do that. Who's good? Anything else we have? Think of anything else?
What's that?
I can't think of anything else we've had. Did
I don't believe that I have anything other
we
than.
We have town meeting Monday.
got a call from Chris Pritchard last night. He's asked to come to the meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, a couple of the meetings he has to go to have switched times. One of them has already been held. It was held last Friday. Another one is changing their hours to 6:30 or something. So he will be here shortly after we're in session, which works out pretty good. We won't have to interrupt the middle of the meeting. Secondly, the Lake St. Catherine Association, he emailed me today and asked if he could speak for a few minutes, and I told him yes, that he can.
Sure.
Regardless of what people say, I'm quite a proponent of the Lake St. Catherine. I've been here since 1949, so I get a little bit about the pond. And trying to be involved in what they're doing, both of those regions. So I haven't heard anything from the Conservation Fund. I don't know if they're going to want time or not.
They usually do something.
The woman that's running it, the president, or the whatever they call her, she lives in New Jersey, and I think she's in Florida in the winter. So yeah. I don't believe she'll be here, but she may blow through the door. Wasn't she here 2 weeks ago?
Robinsville.
I thought she was here to do their lottery or the raffle.
Yeah, the world, and not recently she has been.
So I haven't heard anything from them, but so those yeah. two people are coming. So.
Apparently we didn't win yet.
No. Not in 3 years. I was here when he drew that, and I says, "I just got one simple favor: just pull my name out. You let me down."
You won the Woodman one though last year, so you got lucky on that.
Yes, I did. Yeah. I bought the ticket from Jeff Madison too. I figured that ticket going to trash.
See, he did put it in.
And he hasn't let me forget it either.
Did you buy him a drink?
I have nothing else unless somebody else has something. You two guys, I kind of skipped over you, or I didn't skip over you, but the lady came first through the five. So, you got anything, Greg?
The only thing I want to say is good luck to everybody in the election next week.
Well, somebody, two out of three are going to have bad luck.
You know, to me, that doesn't matter. All you gotta do is try.
What I've been doing for a long time.
I did see today on the news that they're talking about salt. Burlington doesn't want people to use too much salt because of the fish.
So yeah,
they're gonna try to regulate how much salt people use in the town of Burlington, and I'm sure it's gonna flood right through the whole state.
It already has in most states.
We don't use it now, except for Manchester. It's heated sidewalks down there because they use salt. But no, I think
you look at the Lake Road, West Lake Road. That's the closest road that we have any say so on as far as the lake goes. And most of it is, part of it is 25 and part of it is 30. How much salt do you need to put on the road? If you could even remotely begin to know how to drive a car if it's plowed. I mean, I can remember seeing snowpack roads for a week at a time, and nobody got real excited about it.
Yeah,
well,
that's
for sure.
They can't get sidewalks in Foley anymore, and there's much dirt on it.
City of Denver, Colorado, just as a point of interest, and this is a fact, they don't plow the road. They don't drop a plow until there's 6 inches of snow. And they're lucky because usually the weather warms up the next day and it disappears. But they don't use salt at all. They use beet juice, and they, like I say, they don't plow until they're 6 inches on the ground.
telephone wouldn't stop ringing if we did that here.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Yeah.
Couldn't you use soybean? We could make big soybean in here. That would help the deer.
Put down the salt.
Then you can use them, and the deer will be happy. Everybody will be happy.
Deer like to eat
something. Yep.
Well, thank you to you and the guys for, I know you guys have been putting in a lot of hours for this winter, so.
John's the one.
Yeah. he really has. Welcome back, freaking Doug. But yeah, no. I think we've had nothing but, you know, good remarks, so. Thank you for your
did a pretty good job for being by himself.
He did. Did an amazing job.
Yeah, he was in the. I talked to him every day, and he was in pretty good spirits most of the time.
He said it's not.
That's true.
You want to be asked.
Well, we really haven't had a winter like this for, what, 4 or 5 years now? Yeah.
All of that.
And this year, it's been a tough winter for
everybody.
That's Green Mountain Power. How many poles they put on North Street?
I don't think
that pole's ever been.
I'm not sure how that guy pulled that stump.
Yeah,
I can't figure it out either. He's coming up the hill.
Who was it? You know, is it somebody local?
Can't tell you. Heck of a lot.
Up the hill.
I can tell you that it wasn't his truck.
I have a 10-letter passport. You don't burn it up.
And the stump is registered in the guy's wife's name. So, figure that out. $54,000 truck.
Got to remember where I sat for 19 years.
That's
cheap. Look it up for long.
How was you?
He's lucky. God, I said that. He was very lucky.
So. And I was glad that Green Mountain Power released us. They released it at 8 o'clock, and the power didn't come on until 2:30 a.m. So.
No. That would have been. Those
were put on. That's really neat. Yeah, that one. You didn't bring your own flag.
Unless it went back up. Because
I heard about it. I heard about it because Bremer couldn't get a generator started.
Eric said nothing came on up at the lake.
Bought it maybe 25 or 30 years ago. And it's still warranty.
Came on.
Well, it should be.
Yes.
I told him, did you try to put the spark plug in it? No. I said, well, stick the spark plug in it and see what happens. Started.
All right. I'll make a motion. We adjourn this meeting.
Second. My 1984 four-wheeler should be warranted, but.